Welcome back, everyone, to the Close to Home podcast. It's been a week. It's been a couple weeks since we talked to you. We've had a lot of things going on. So thank you for coming back and joining us and just hanging out with us. My name is David. Across from me is Chris. And our wonderful guest, return guest today, Dan, thank you, sir, for being back on. We appreciate it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You know, before we get started, just again, thank you for joining us. Drop a like, comment, all that stuff. Cool. That's out of the way. Now, let's get into it. So today, what we wanted to talk about, Dan actually wanted to talk about next steps. So for those of you who attend Riverland or Seacoast or right where you're from, next steps is something, you know, that we talk about quite often in your walk with the Lord, you know, serving the church. What are your next steps to come into the house and serve in whatever capacity, you know, you feel? My personal journey started with production, right? Came in production. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Started doing that. Loved it. Got a background, obviously, in all the tech, the acting side. So just coming from that world, just felt like that was a great place for me to start and plug in. And honestly, that was the first time that I've ever really plugged in to a church and served and did something, you know. Growing up back home in North Carolina, the church, you know, I was younger. When I turned 18, I turned around and I took off to the military. So like, I didn't really have time to be like, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? How do I serve? Like, what's my next step? Right. So, it was cool. Just kind of learning that. It's funny because my wife, she's done small groups. She's served and, you know, at the other churches that she's been at. And so to her, it was just like, oh yeah, this is that. So she explained it to me and I was like, I don't understand what this means. You know, for as much as like growing up in a church, like I didn't understand what it requires, what it takes. So, you know, with that being said, sir, go ahead. Let's dive into it. So from your perspective of next steps for, wherever you want to start, let's just dive into it. So
appreciate that. You know, David, what you were talking about as far as, you know, how you get started and everything else. Cause you know, you're taking me to thinking about like, you know, just even a child, you know, they got to crawl before they can walk. That's their step. Absolutely. Right? They got to learn to lift up their heads, right? All this kind of stuff. Yeah. And so there are certain steps that just take, I guess you would consider them just natural, you know. And you know what? If a kid stands up and starts walking before they crawl, sometimes they make them go back. There's an order to it, so to speak, right? And so, you know, not trying to, you know, get the formula, because clearly there is not a formula.
Right.
God did not, you know, so love the world that he sent a formula, right? So
that's true.
You know, and as I had shared a little bit earlier about, you know, my wife's school teacher, and I asked her, so like, what are some of the things that you would expect from students? And she said, well, by the time you're getting out of third grade, you should know how to read on a fourth grade level. Well, that's kind of a standard, you know? So what are some of the kind of standards to begin with?
Yeah.
And so I think of steps. I think of it in the sense of this way, I would have to look at, you know, a first step would be asking, you know, why did Jesus come? You know, why did he come? There's more than one answer. So I just kind of throw that out, you know, a little bit. Why you think Jesus might have come to this, this planet?
Oh man, I was watching something the other day. Or last night, I believe. And, I forgot the guy's name, but he said, you know, it says God came, to, you know, clean us up from our sins. But he said to him, it was a little bit deeper and that he came because I was a sinner. And I was like, ooh, you know,
right.
Like that's kind of, it made me think, cause it's like, man, you know, he came because he knew that I was going to struggle with every addiction, whether it was alcohol, porn, you know, whatever, like whatever it is, that's the reason why he came. And the way he said it, just, it hit me. It was like, man, that's really, you know, it's like, you think about all the stuff that you struggle with over the years, you know, from as far back as you can remember, anything that just destroyed you or that, you know, might've destroyed your life at some point in time, you had to rebuild. Right. And it's like, when you think about that, that's nothing new to God at all.
No,
he already knew. And that's why Jesus came. It's like, they're going to do all of this stuff.
I like that.
And I need you to go down there.
Right.
And go take that for them.
Yeah.
And even in that, we still every day fall short of the great, of his great, like every single day, you know? So it's like, it's, I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, man, that's tough. And it's not, and as I'm saying that, I'm thinking, cause what I was about to say, and I'm going to say it. What I was about to say was, I look at that and I go, man, how could I ever live up to your expectations of me? How could I ever live up to what you want me to be? How could I ever, you know, live up? And a while back, you know, and still to this day, we talk about like,
yeah,
sometimes we're like, man, I'm not doing enough. Like, can I just do enough to earn your good grace? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's not the case, but still to this day, that burden I feel, and I'm just like, man, that weighs on me heavy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, you know, like, again, like that's, I look at that and I say, I agree with what he was saying. Like, man, he already knew that I suck, right? It's like, no, you're going to do a lot of things that suck. So I'm going to come and I'm going to take that for you.
Right.
You know? So
yeah,
for me, at least that's how I view it. What about you?
See, when you talk about next steps, I'll be honest, there's a part of me that doesn't like it because I mean, there's this, you know, because what I hear there is challenge. And there's so many different ways to look at this. I mean, one of the ways that I've heard it said before is that God loves you as you are, but too much to let you stay that way. And I like that. I like what you said about it not being about a formula, because it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, I would say if somebody came to me and they just showed me, hey, I've charted out the next 10 years of my spiritual journey, and here are the next 10 years of next steps I need to take, I would be a little bit like, that would throw up at least a yellow flag for me on the way that they're approaching their faith. But when I hear the topic of next steps, it makes me think, one thing that it kind of brings about in me is this idea that Jesus did both a combination of invitation and challenge, that there was that there was relationship and there was responsibility. So there was always this calibration of, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Like this kind of like, okay, I'll give you rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like, come away with me, spend time with me. But then there also this deal of like, now go preach the kingdom.
Right.
So there being like things, things for us to do. So I think sometimes I get a little tired, and I think you may have hit on this, because sometimes it can feel like if you approach next steps the wrong way, it can almost feel like, is it never an God, is it ever enough?
Yeah.
You know, right. like I'm going to be on my deathbed and worry that I didn't fast enough, or worry that I didn't go on enough mission trips, or worry that I didn't lead enough small groups, or worry that I didn't read the Bible enough, or worry that I didn't pray enough hours, or worry that I didn't connect with enough people. Oof. And you know, and I'm like, I don't, and that's where for me, I'm like, oh, like I don't want to approach next steps that way.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. And going back to what, you know, what Dave was talking about, I saw a next step in what you described, and I'm not exactly sure where the scripture is, but I think it's in Mark, where, you know, that you have to repent and follow me. Mm-hmm. Well, understanding our sin is a conviction.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it's something that we have to actually
acknowledge. Yes. Every day.
And so that's the difference, mm-hmm. is that, oh, wow, I've been doing this for the last 35 years and didn't have a problem. Now, right. all of a sudden, I realize
yeah.
what I've been doing
yeah.
has got me not where I want to be.
Yeah,
I'm mm-hmm. convicted, mm-hmm. and now I understand.
Ooh. Yep,
that's a next step, is understanding, in a sense,
yeah.
that what I'm doing is not the road I need to be on.
Right.
But I'm learning that
yeah.
from the scriptures and things of this nature. So a yeah. next step could be, I'm going to, you know, to learn to read
yep.
God's word, if yep. he's drawing me there.
Right.
But kind of also to Chris's point, you know, reading the Bible, mm-hmm. you can read the Bible like you can read the newspaper.
Yeah.
yeah. Turn the page, next article. Turn, yep. turn, turn.
Yeah.
I read the paper today.
Yeah.
End of it.
Yeah.
But what does he tell us to do? He tells us to meditate on mm-hmm. his word, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chew on it.
Yeah. yeah.
Like a cud. That's, yeah, that's right. Burp it back up, yes. chew on it some more, right?
Hey, sounds disgusting, but I get it.
I like that. Yeah, that's meditating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, but, yeah. and God can speak to us. Mm-hmm. That's. So another area is that, yes, maybe we have these standards, but we can't make the standards on our own. It's God who tutors us, mm-hmm. okay? So, you know, I've shared, I think, on our last talk about yeah. how school was a little bit hard for me, the challenging parts right. of it and aspects of like that.
Yeah.
So if you look at school, you can look at it. And if you've never had a problem with school, you probably never looked at it this way.
Right, right.
But you're always going a grade up.
Mm. Yeah.
Did I make the grade?
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. And that's instilled in us. Mm-hmm. Am I making the grade?
Yeah.
Well, with Jesus, you start with an A.
Yeah.
And to your point, you yeah. know, through the blood,
yeah.
you end with that A.
Yeah.
So to speak. Where do we yeah. fail?
Yeah.
We fail when we think it's about us.
Yeah.
And what I can do and what I can't do.
Yeah.
So that's the next step, I would say, for someone who mm-hmm. is not a Christ follower.
Yeah. And I like how you put that, because, you know, we say next steps and you talked about it, and kind of like that feeling of like, you know, maybe a little bit of frustration there, but to your point, next steps doesn't look like what I talked about opening up to everybody. Mm. For me and my journey, that was my next step.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
yeah.
Like you said, for other people, it may just be, okay, I understand this now. My next step is to pick up the Bible and just crack it open and start reading mm-hmm. to understand.
Right.
Not just to read,
yes.
to tick a box and just turn the page, right, yeah. on the newspaper, to pick it up and start reading. And then as you're going through that, Holy Spirit's going to be like, all right, cool. Now this is your next step.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And it's a constant, there's going to be a
yeah.
constant change and a constant next step, but for everybody's walk, it's different, right? Everybody talks oh, yeah. about seasons.
Yeah.
Your next step might be a long season of just sitting still, being quiet and listening. And I say that because I had a season of that. I had a season of, I was depressed. I was just, the walls were closing in very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to fight a spiritual battle without all of my armor. I tried to do it on my own and just be like, I got this, God. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, with me. And I'm like, no, I got this, because you made me. He's like, yes, with me. Mm-hmm. You need me. You can't fight that as David, as yourself, mm-hmm. with no armor, with nothing. You can't do that. And he was telling me that, and I was not listening. So in that season that I was in, my next step was to just sit still and listen to what he was trying to tell me. Mm. And it took me a good long period before I really realized, oh, I'm not fighting this on my own.
Yep.
I can't fight this on my own.
No.
And I don't think that's articulated enough to people, right? Especially think about someone new coming to God, right? Like new to the faith. And they're just like, oh, so I'm just supposed to go from walk into the doors, be a part of the church, now serve. And that's all well and good, but that time frame and what happens in between that, there's a relationship. Yes, come in, learn to have a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Learn to walk through that relationship. Learn to allow that relationship to bleed over into everything else in your life so that your other relationships start to become fruitful, so that your other relationships start to grow. And then, oh, now I'm at a point where I can turn around and pour into somebody else.
Right.
But that, I don't, from my perspective, just like listening and looking around, like hearing conversations on a daily basis, it's like people don't, that part gets lost.
Right.
Why it gets lost, where it gets lost, how it gets lost, you know, I don't know. But just from my experience, like I feel that a lot. So,
yeah.
So what, in terms of, so I say that, and it sounds counterproductive. Like I say that, but from your perspective, now again, you're on stage, you're leading, you see people talk. From your perspective, where's a good place, especially for someone new to the faith, where is a good place to start? And I say someone new because a lot of the listeners, they may not be new, but remember we talked about you wanting a church full of disciples.
Yeah.
So then as we go out into the world and we're talking to people,
yeah,
what words can you give that'll say, hey, for this person new to the faith, here's a good direction to point them maybe if they need some type of direction. Now, obviously the Lord is going to let you know, hey, you speak to this person, you talk to this person, but sometimes it's like, hey man, I heard what you just said and I think this will work for you. So what do you think is a good place for some people to start?
Yeah. One thing that I'll definitely say is, that I'm super thankful for before I, you know, give any practical tips is I'm so thankful that God is such a, in the same way that like, as I think about each of my kids and I think about how I approach each one of them differently, I'm so thankful that God does that with us.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, and sometimes I forget that because sometimes I want to impose my, my spiritual journey on other people. Yeah. And I'll assume that because something is working or is fitting for me, I'll be like, well, you just need to do this, you know, just because of that. So it's always hard for me to, I'll say that when I was, maybe this is a direction I can take it. I'll say that when I was new to the faith, I did not have very much appreciation that other people had a lot to offer me.
Right.
So so if I could redo the first 3 years of my Christian journey, I would have enlisted. I spent a ton of time reading the Bible and misunderstanding so much of it. Not that I regret all the time that that I spent in it, but it was just like, I just approached it without any understanding that this is a book that was written by a bunch of different authors a long time ago that I can easily misinterpret and that I had no significant previous experience with. So that was rough.
Yeah.
That was rough. I mean, I would have incorporated mentors. I would have read some books by wise people in the faith.
Right.
I would have surrounded myself with more community.
Right.
Because I had so many questions and I went from not, and some people who are new to the faith, as you said, are, you know, come from more of a faith background than I did, but the way I grew up was like agnostic. I mean, I kind of grew up with like, maybe there's a God and maybe there's not. Right. I didn't really think there was a hell. Right. I kind of thought maybe there's a heaven. I didn't know if there was even ultimate truth. So for me, coming from that perspective, it was like,
you know, I very much needed, all of a sudden, the only thing I knew after I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, all I knew is I was pretty sure that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he rose from the dead.
Right.
I was pretty sure the Bible was the inspired word of God.
Right.
And I was, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And now I'm, and all of a sudden I had this life inside of me that I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I didn't know anything about really much of anything. And I was like, what do I do? And rather than like going and saying, okay, I'm going to humble myself and get brothers and sisters in Christ alongside me to like, to help me that I can bounce questions off of. I'm going to get some mentors. I'm going to dive into a church and get a pastor or two to meet with me. It was kind of like, all right, it's just me and God. And I'm the best Christian around as far as I can tell. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just going to like, I'm going to zip past everybody and I'm going to read the Bible 12 hours a day and pray on my own and get super lost, confused and broken.
Yeah.
I mean, that ended up being what happened. I ended up just getting isolated and it was not an enjoyable experience. So, so I would say, get some people around you, you know, that this is, you know, whether it's a Christian counselor, you know, a pastor, a mentor, get some people around you. You know, this is a faith that has been walked out for thousands of years, mostly in the context of community. And I would say it's only been in the last, you know, 100, you know, I don't even know how long really in, you know, since the technological revolution or whatever, it's only been relatively recently that we've been so individualized in terms of the way that we carry out our faith. And that did a lot, that did me a lot of harm.
It's gone like, that's grown, I think, really rapidly.
Yeah. I mean, faith and politics, you don't talk about faith and politics.
Yeah. The past probably 10 years, it's kind of, with the explosion of social media as well. It's very like, you know, self-focused with it. You know, I agree. And Dan, what about you? What about,
well, you know, listening to our conversations and everything today, you know, and that's one thing good about a podcast is that, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the word. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, somebody might not even ever cracked a Bible, but yet they could be feeling a pulling, a tugging right now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait a minute. That's speaking to me one way or the other, right? So to your point, as far as, you know, reading the Bible is concerned, you know, I think about the, I don't know if it was an illustration or what, but there was this person that could tell you everything about somebody, but they've never met them.
Right.
So you can read all you want about God, but have you really met him?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing where you know, because you can talk the language. I mean, I can speak the language, churchese. Is that what they call it? Just kind of like a churchese?
Christianese.
Yeah. What happens, you know, for those that, well, let me back up just a little bit. And back up to the extent that, like, why did Jesus come? I feel like he came for, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. But he also did not just come for the righteous, but he came for the unrighteous.
Right.
I don't know if the scripture is that, you know, those that are well don't need the doctor, right?
Yeah.
It's those that... Yeah. That are sick that need, and he came. That's what he came for. He didn't come for people who are able to get by.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people getting by. All right. Yeah. But those people that were getting by were making it hard for other people. They were saying, you know, like, oh, let's say you could, I don't know, do a, let's say you could run 100 yards in X amount of time.
Right.
They would say, all you got to do is run the 100 yards at this time and you're in.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy for them because they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else is trying and trying and trying. And some get up there.
Yeah.
Others can't ever. Yeah. They can't get there.
Right.
And that's what God was saying. That's wrong. That is wrong because it isn't done by you.
Mm-hmm.
He came primarily for the cross. Right. That was the whole cross in time. We're getting over Easter just, what, a week or so ago? Yep. That kind of a thing. So we're, but he was still with us for 40 days afterwards. That's right. And those are kind of things that you'd ask yourself that question. Well, does that mean anything or doesn't it? Well, if does it to you personally or not?
Yeah.
But it could mean something. It means that you could study what it was like those last 40 days that he was with us before that.
Yeah.
But so I think, you know, it's about why Christ came. But then it's also about the fact that, you know, it's your personal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. So you can look good on the outside. And, yeah. and I don't know what the content of this is, but let's say someone just decides, you know what, I'm going to go to church this Sunday just to see.
Right.
And they go and let's say they got they like it. And they go back another Sunday. They skip one, then they go back another. Maybe they've been doing it for about a month. Then all of a sudden they realize, wow. I want to go on this journey.
Yeah.
Well, what happens? They become like everybody else in the church. Mm. They clean up, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's not what they need to be reaching out to the people that they were just like 30 days ago.
Yeah.
But the church doesn't really, and I'm not bashing the church here, but I'm just saying we could do a better job.
Mm. I get that.
Of not going for that cookie cutter.
Yep.
What's it supposed to look like?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's the body.
Yeah.
Right. It's the body. But how can we reach
right.
some folks to make them feel? And I heard the coin phrase, come as you are, mm-hmm. leave as he is. Mm-hmm. And that's loving yeah. and things of that nature. So, right. Again, I would have to say that, you know, I don't know if this is semi-circle, but you know, our abilities, that whole part about needing to do better or having a hard time doing better. I think in some ways we've learned to run before we learn to crawl. Mm. And where do we need to crawl?
Yeah.
Right? We need to crawl to Christ, like Mary at his feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not in the kitchen like Martha cooking away.
Right.
And right. having that righteous indignation. Mm-hmm. Because she's providing, she's doing a really good thing, yeah. but Jesus said, you're doing the better thing. And so that's where, if you're having a problem making the grade, mm. you have a tutor.
Yeah.
And Jesus is your tutor. yeah. All you got to do yeah. is go to him.
I like that.
So that's kind of, so where my next steps would lead me, and I'll throw it out to you too, is like, well, what does it mean to surrender? Mm. And what does it mean to deny yourself and pick up your cross daily? And that's yeah. that whole thing that you were talking about, David, is that, look, you know, I do okay, but then I mess up.
Yep.
What, right.
Yep.
Because it's daily we have to do it.
Yep.
If we don't pick it up daily.
Yep.
It won't happen.
I think a lot of people, and there were times where I struggled with that as well. Cause it's like you say, you know, I sat down, I prayed, all right, Lord, like, you know, I want to pick up my cross, like whatever your will is. And you talked about this Sunday and I wanted to touch on that as well. They tie into the same. It's just like, you know, I want your will to be done. I'm going to pick up my cross. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I know you're going to let me know. I think I have an idea. And if I'm marching in the right direction, awesome. If I need to change it up, you're going to let me know. But I did that. And then it was like the next day, it was just like, all right, well, I didn't hear anything. So it's like, well, clearly you didn't have anything for me. Right. And I think that is how people operate. It's funny. I saw this little short yesterday, and dude was laying in bed and he was like, how we want God to talk to us. And he went through this whole spiel of like, mm-hmm. he's laying in bed and he's like, you know, he does a little voiceover and he's like, God's yeah. talking to him. He's like, get up, do this. I want you to go do that. He's your next totally. Step. And like, and he's like, oh, fantastic. I'm going to go do what you want me to do. And then mm-hmm. verses, he's like, how God really talks to us. And he's like mm-hmm. laying in bed and does the voiceover. He just says his name. And he's like, yeah. And he just says, pray. And he's like, for what? Like, what do you need me to, you know? And he's like, just the way that he, mm-hmm. that he portrayed that, you know, I immediately thought back to every time I pray and I'm like, do I do that? Mm-hmm. And like, is that me? When I ask you for everything that I'm asking you for, and then I'm saying, hey, but let your will be. And then if your will is, you're not going to have that. How am I going to respond? Am I going to be okay with that? Am I going to turn tail and run? Because that's the other part of that. So when we talk about Jesus coming and mm-hmm. everybody is, yeah, he used to hang out with sinners. He used to chill and he used to da-da. Let's pump the brakes for a second. What was his reasoning for doing that? To allow them to stay where they were and continue what they were doing? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm. To, hey, this is what you're doing. Let's guide you this way and turn you away from that. Right? So if we're going to say, all right, Lord, I'm gonna pick up my cross. Let your will be done. I'm with you. And his answer is, okay, but you're not having that. Mm-mm. Because I know that's that right there that you've designed for yourself, what you mm-hmm. think you want, what you think will make you happy. You're not going to have that. Are you okay with that? And for me, so many times I was like, no,
no.
Good. And then like beating my head against the wall, like, right. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until so many times doing that, finally realized, well, no, you do have my best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. You do want me to spend eternity with you. You do provide for me already. I'm successful. We talked about success before. Mm-hmm. I'm successful with my family. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Katie with this about this the other day. Cause I had told her, I was like, hey, you know, my career, like this and that, like, mm-hmm. cause we were just talking about our careers and like what success looked like. And I was like, man, and she asked me, she was like, well, what does that look like for you? And I was like, well, and my first thing was I had to stop and go, I am successful already. My wife, my children, friends, family, loved ones, that's success because those are the things that the Lord gave me.
Right.
Right. Nothing that I could create or make. And
yeah, that's favor. People.
Absolutely. And then I said, okay, now I understand that. What does success look like in my professional life? Well, this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. Before it was something completely different. And it had to change because of all that time that I spent praying, beating my head up against the wall. Like, why am I not understanding this? How come I can't get around the fact that you said, I don't want you to do this because mm-hmm. this isn't for you right here. I have something else for you. It's great. It's going to be better than this, mm-hmm. but we don't understand that. Mm-mm. And people come up with so many different reasons why we don't understand it. But at the end of the day, we just don't understand it. We don't want to understand it.
Yeah, that's one thing that's interesting about next steps is anytime you talk about taking steps, mm-hmm. there's some kind of destination.
Right.
Right?
There has to be. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't take steps just like, you know, that immediately comes into play. And it's like, you know, with whether it's success or what, you know, it's people have identified so many different destinations that it's like, I feel like my mind is kind of like rolling through different people that I know in my life right now. Like I know for me, for the longest time, Jesus seemed completely irrelevant to me. I mean, he wasn't even a consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible didn't even seem like a book that was, I mean, I didn't even consider it. It wasn't even a book that I would gave as much thought to as, I don't know, pick some old book like the Iliad or the Odyssey or whatever. Like, oh yeah, the Bible. Like I actually distinctly remember hosting a party at my house in high school and somebody asking if they could use one of the pages of the Bible and roll a joint with it. Oh. And I felt like it was a little sacrilegious, but I had no problem with it. I was like, whatever. I mean, I don't care. Like, you know, but like for me, it wasn't it was the Iliad. It was the Odyssey. It's mm-hmm. like, it's an old book, whatever. Yeah. Like I attributed no value to it. And as I think about just people in my life that I have probably the biggest heart for, it's people that are hurting and that are broken and
don't even know that there is a God in heaven that loves them and will respond to them, and who's don't even know that he's worth talking to. Don't even know that he's worth asking a question of. Because I feel like once people get it into their heads that God loves me, he's got a plan for my life and he's worth pursuing. Like it says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Man. So it's like, once you have that in your head, that there's a God that exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him, you're kind of on a track. Then it's kind of like, okay, there is a God. He will respond to me as I try to seek him. Then you're asking questions like, well, how do I seek him? Right. Well, you should try reading the Bible. Yeah. You should try praying. Oh, okay, I'll do it because I'm trusting that he's going to meet me in along the way. I'm going to draw near to him. He's going to draw near to me. There's going to be a reciprocity.
Yeah.
The people that for me, I have such a heart for, and then I'm so thankful that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Because when you're, I mean, even when you're physically lost, it is such a debilitating feeling.
Yes.
Like when you don't have a clue, because then you could, when you're really lost, you could think that you're driving, you could be going 50 miles an hour and hope that you're going in the right direction, but actually just be moving further away from where you want to go, ultimately want to go. Yep. And in your mind, you're speeding, feeling like, I think this is right. And you actually could be getting an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours away from your home that you ultimately want to get to. And that is, those are the people that I'm like, And honestly, I think part of the reason that I have a heart for those people is because in some ways I still am that person.
Right.
There are still I believe the Bible is the inspired word of God. I have a relationship with God.
Right.
But when I think about the problems that at least for me are the hardest right now, I don't totally know what's going to fix it right now.
Right.
And I am so thankful that that the same Jesus that met a confused, lost 18-year-old is the same Jesus that can meet a 41-year-old who is still, when it comes to the stuff that gets me down the most, if I could have fixed it already, I would have.
Yes.
I would have done it already.
Yes.
I wouldn't have the problem.
Man.
I don't even, in those areas, I don't even know if I'm asking the right question. If it was a matter of simply like going on a mission trip, I'd sign up for it.
Yeah.
If it was a matter of fasting for 40 days, I'd do it. If I knew for certain that it would fix the issue, I would do it.
Man.
So I'm really thankful that Jesus somehow knows how to meet us where we are. Because I know that there have been times in my life where I've been, where my only hope has been, God, I need to know that you can speak to me in a way that I know it's you.
Yeah.
Because I'm so lost right now that I can manufacture a voice in my head that sounds prescriptive, that sounds authoritative, and it not be you.
Yeah.
I need to know that I'm the 2-year-old holding dad's hand and that dad is really the one that's got the grip on him.
Man.
Like I need to know that you're still, I need to know that you're still that God because if you're not, I'm tired and I'm worn and I'd rather just stop here if you're not still that God.
Right. Yeah. You know, Chris, while you were talking, it just seems to me that what I'm hearing you say is that if anybody just was to say that simple prayer, like in total frustration, you know, my last ditch effort is, if there is a God, please show yourself to me.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? If you are with the right heart, he will.
Absolutely.
It might not be, you know, fireworks, but there's a still small voice that can be spoken. But at the same time, it's amazing how he will answer that simple prayer. Yeah. But then if you and I say, help me deny myself and pick up my cross every day, mm-hmm. you can pray that all day long.
Yeah.
And it might not happen.
Yeah.
And why? Mm-hmm. Well, that's the difference, because eternal life is only that matters. Mm. It's what's done on the cross that we have eternal life. What is denying ourselves about? Denying ourselves is basically saying that I no longer exist.
Yeah.
And I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me.
Yeah.
And so what effect does that have? Why do we strive? Why do we step? Why am I trying to step to that, mm-hmm. as opposed to just meditating on, I have eternity, I will never die.
Right.
Well, because we then become a little bit more like him, mm-hmm. and then we are an attraction, we're a magnetism. Mm-hmm. And somebody sees something in Dave and says, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
What he's got,
yeah.
that... I seen where he was. Mm-hmm. I see where he is now.
Right.
And I want some of that too. Well, yeah. It isn't you.
Absolutely. No. Nope.
It isn't me.
Nope.
It isn't Chris. It's what God has done in us.
Yeah.
And that's for everyone to come. We're Absolutely. All beggars who found fresh bread and we're looking to share it with somebody else.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So that's why I feel like we can't ever say we have arrived. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So some of the simplest things can speak to us. All right? Yeah. Forrest Gump. When his mom,
yeah.
he gets the note mm-hmm. that she's dying.
Yeah.
And he runs yep. to her. And he says, Mama, what's going on? Mm-hmm. She says, I'm dying, Forrest.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why? Yep. And she says, it's my time.
Yeah.
It's my time. But why do we, what happens when we get to that point?
Right.
We fight it.
Yeah.
No, this is not my time. Well, wait a minute. The last I checked is that we don't control this.
No. Nope.
Okay. And in essence, I think if we can understand that we have a beautiful God, that he says when and where, then that's something that helps me.
Yeah.
When I wake up in the morning, I can open my eyes and I can say, is it my time? He says, no, it's not your time today.
Right.
Well, then let me get my butt out of bed and conquer this world, as opposed to, oh man, what do I got to do next?
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not our time, but there will come a time when it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But guess what? We don't worry about that, because the sting of death is lost.
That's right. That's right.
Right? And that's what we have to offer to other people.
Yeah.
But you have to help them take those steps necessary. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right. That's good. I like that. And that's, you know, that's real. That's real life. Yeah, especially with, you know, that last part talking about just death and life. I was talking to my wife and I was talking to her about how my mother explains when Jesus died. And, you know, she would always explain ever since I was little. She'd put in a very, you know, just articulate the story. And, you know, I always had a picture of, you know, Jesus dying and then just walking. He said, you know, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, mm-hmm. you know, just kicking open the doors of hell, walking through as the demons part and run scared, grabs the keys, doesn't even say, give me those, just these are mine. Turn around and walk back out. Just the way she articulated mm-hmm. and portrayed, I was always like, this is the coolest story ever. And as I got older mm-hmm. and I understood the severity and the gravity of that, you know, it hit me even more. Cause it's like, man, how many of us were so lost that that was our destination for eternity? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And again, at the end, when we go and stand in front of him, and we have to account for everything that we've done, that's our judgment. And we have to face that. You know, as it stands, I look back and I go, I'm not that same dude back there. So I think I got a better shot now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think I got a much better shot. Yeah. Right. Let's be real. Like, you know, that's how I think sometimes. I'm like, you know, I think I got a much better shot now. I think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm following. I feel like I'm listening. I feel like I'm trying. Cause we go back to just, when we pray, you know, mm-hmm. grace, mercy, peace, you know, mm-hmm. we pray for all those things.
Yeah. Mm.
And the response that I've found so many times is, okay, I'm going to put something in your path today so that you can give grace to somebody, so that you can find a way to honor that peace, mm-hmm. to lend a smile to someone else, to give a helping mm-hmm. hand. All the things that I'm like, man, Lord, I'm praying for this today, and I'm praying for all this for me mm-hmm. or for my family. Mm-hmm. Okay. The way that I'm going to give that to you is by you doing that for somebody else. And like throughout the day, those things happen. And I start to realize like, oh, this is exactly what I was praying for. But I'm getting that by being of service to somebody else. I'm getting that by being able to not get upset at someone who cut me off in the grocery store and just stood in front of me. Like I wasn't like, I'm just invisible. Like you don't see me standing here in line. Right. Instead of, yo man, get to the back of the line before I throw you back there. You know, it's
right.
You know what? They probably got somewhere to be. Something's going on. Something's happening. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the time, if something like that happens and you look at it that way, that person's going to turn around and go, tell you something. I'm sorry. I really got to get and say, hey, mm-hmm. by all means, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, you got something you need to do. You're in a rush. I'm in no rush. You need some help with something.
Right.
Little things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I see, like, you know, we talked about it before, like trying to do that. And I've tried to make a mental note and like be very, very cognizant of that. And it's like, man, every time I'm praying for, you know, that peace and that grace and that mercy, you're putting me in positions where I can extend that to somebody else.
Yeah.
And in turn, by doing that for them, I'm feeling like, man, this feels amazing.
Yes.
I'm on top of the world right now because I helped somebody. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I say that and then think about how many people, like, that is not at all how they operate, what they want to do, how they want to be. Mm. If you can't serve me, then mm-hmm. what good are you to me? And that, you know, I struggle with that. I struggle with that a lot, you know? Because I look at people in positions of like, you know, where I want to be, you know, whether it's like financially, you know, business wise, things like that. And you kind of hear the same story over and over of just the sharks eating the smaller sharks in the pond so that they can be the only shark in the pond. Right. And it's like,
right.
But if you operate that way, how do you expect to have any kind of peace or grace or forgiveness in your life, mm-hmm. if you can't extend that out to everybody around you. So just a little, you know,
right.
just a little piece that,
yeah.
that kind of hit me, but
yeah.
man, thank you for today. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you guys inviting me back. Yeah. It was great.
I didn't, you know, again, we like to, whatever we talk about, hey, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. Let's do it. Cool. Great. And like, you know, something simple right before we get on. And, I love that because it's real.
Yeah.
It's organic. It's not, I don't like, the only scripted stuff I like is when I'm acting because it's kind of got to be scripted. Yeah. Unless you're doing improv. But like, you know, just this is, you know, being able to talk and just like mm-hmm. talk about the real stuff.
Right.
People are afraid to talk about the real stuff. People are afraid to talk about, you know, anything that is going to rustle up a few feathers. Like, well, if you don't do that, how do we heal? How do we really find out what's going on with people? How do we get past ourselves, the self-centered nature, the I'm my own God. I'm the God of my universe. Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. Okay? It's like, let's be real about that. So, but you know, definitely again, thank you. Cause you know, just very, very thought provoking.
Well, I appreciate it. I like your last comments as far as, a lot of times people will step on people's heads, you know, and use them for stepping stones. But we have an upside down kingdom, right? So we're not supposed to be a star. We're supposed to be a servant. Mm-hmm. And we're not supposed to be first. We're supposed to be last.
All the time. You
know, but at the same time, I don't know if I said it before, but I want to be the first one there.
Yeah.
But the last in line.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Only because, you know, that way, you know, you're going to get there too. You don't need to get there first.
Yep.
It's helping those others along the way.
Yeah.
And then you have more of a sense of community and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
So thanks for this opportunity to share some of course.
Of course.
I feel really immature because all I'm thinking about right now is Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. Sorry. No, it's sorry. It's not helpful.
I love it. Well, on that note, you want to take us out in prayer?
Sure.
That was good.
God, thank you so much that you're such a great savior, that when we need to be caught, that you know how to catch us. And God, yes. I'm so thankful for that, because no matter who's listening to this and no matter what they're going through, thank you that you know how to meet us where we're at, and that as lost as we can be, we're never too lost for your grace. We're never too lost for your guidance. And I'm so thankful for that, God. And honestly, I hate how often I forget that, but I thank you that it's so true. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Again, thank you, sir. We appreciate you being here. Next steps for everyone is different for who you are. You know, you gotta part in your journey where you're at right now. If you don't understand what maybe the Lord's trying to tell you or where you're trying to walk, or you need some kind of help, I mean, hit us up, let us know, pull us aside in church, shoot us a message. Like, you know, maybe we can help you decipher it. We can't tell you exactly where to walk. That's not our responsibility, but we can also point you in the right direction of where God, you know, is trying to lead you, obviously, to him. So, you know, wherever we can help, by all means, you know, we all need that community. We need brothers and sisters who have our back, who can be there for when we need to lean on and say, hey man, I was there. This is what I had to do. That might help you. Why don't you start here? Things like that. So we love you. We'll see you in the next one. See you Sunday. Have a great week. See you in the next one.